We're in the Gospel of John chapter 13, and in John chapter 13, as we saw the Lord Jesus declaring that he was the light of the world, that he was the way, and that there was no other way but through him, that his words we saw in John chapter 12 would judge the world in the last day. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come that he should depart from the world, from this world, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. We're going through the Gospel of John, and we're coming already to just the time previous to the death of the Lord Jesus, the Passover. And remember that the Lord Jesus is really the Passover lamb of the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed a Passover lamb when Moses was called to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Jesus, in the New Testament, the Bible says he's the real Passover lamb. And the time had come. And so Jesus was crucified on the Passover weekend. It was the same time when all the Jews celebrated that they were delivered because a lamb was killed and put on the doorposts of the house, and the death angel passed over those houses. Well, God knew exact timing that Jesus would be crucified at the time of the Passover because he was the Passover lamb that was to come. So it was unique. It was wonderful. It was all in God's perfect timing. Even though wicked men took him and crucified him, it was all in the plan of God. God is so big and so awesome and so much in control. And now Jesus knew this. He knew he was going to the cross. It says he knew that his hour had come that he should depart from this world to the Father. And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He knew that it was coming. He knew it wouldn't be long before he'd be leaving them behind. And in leaving them behind, he wanted to leave them with something that would impact them, something that they would remember, something that would cause them to reflect on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and on the call of God on their lives and the work that they needed to do. And listen, friends, it's a call for you. This is a call from God for all of us. But how beautiful those statements are where he says, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. When you are in the love of God, let me tell you, he loves you to the end. He loves you all the way. Now, they were a ragtag bunch, weren't they? Had they let him down lots of times? Had they come up with some crazy ideas every once in a while? And you know, after a while, sometimes you can see Jesus almost shaking his head and saying, don't you get it yet? But he still loved them. And he continues to love them. And friends, he loves you. And if you trust in him as your Lord and Savior, you become one of his disciples, he will love you to the end. Praise God. He will love you all the way. He's not a halfway God, but a full salvation with a full Savior. And so it says, when supper was ended, as they had gathered together, as they broke bread together, in John's Gospel, we don't have the story of the breaking of bread. We have the end of the story, and at the end of the story of breaking bread, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. He knew that was coming too, and we'll find that out next week. We will talk about Judas Iscariot. We'll talk about who he was and what his motives were and the circumstances surrounding the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet here, he says, it speaks about the fact Judas Iscariot was there among them. The 12 of them were there. Judas was there. And it says in John 13:3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God. This is the introduction to the story. The introduction to this story is that Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands. He knew how supreme he was. He knew how much authority he had. He knew that he had come from God and that he was going back to God. Now, we have to understand that when Jesus left his heaven's glory, he laid aside his majesty and he laid aside all of the knowledge that he had, and he allowed God to impart that knowledge to him as he grew and as he walked with God and as he experienced God. And this here gives us the fullness of the recognition of him knowing all these things, knowing that he was in the master of the universe, knowing that he had come from God and he was going back to God. You couldn't get a higher pinnacle than this. No angel could claim this. No being that has ever been created could claim these statements about who Jesus Christ is. And he knew all of this, all that he was, with all of his majesty and with all of his authority. And what does he do with it? What does he do with the supreme authority that he had? What's the saying? Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Isn't that saying? You ever hear that story before? That statement? Well, it's a like when people try to get political power, once they get political power, they will do anything to hold on to it, right? What's that? No question. When people get in power, they want more power. And when they get more power, they want even more power. Jesus had all the power. He had all of the authority. What did he do with it? Generally, when people have power, they lord it over other people. When people have the ability to rule over other people, they take advantage of them. And they do it for their own purposes, their own gain, so that they might get more and that you might get less. I'm not making a political speech here. But often, isn't that what happens? Huh? Isn't that often what happens in politics, in the whole realm of the world and the way that the world thinks? The more power you have, the more power that you want. And the more you want to rule it and lord it over others. But here's the heart of Jesus. When him knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, absolute authority over all things. Remember Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Everywhere I am in control. All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. And here he says he had come from God and was going to God. What did he do with that authority? What did he do with that power? He says he rose from the supper and he laid aside his garments and he took a towel and he put it around his waist. He gets up from the supper table. All the disciples are watching him. Their eyes are on him. And he takes off, he lays aside his overgarments and he puts them under the way. And he takes a towel and he puts it around himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin, into a bowl, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. That's what he started to do. Here is the supreme ruler of the universe getting on his knees and bowing down and washing the feet of the disciples. That might seem a little strange to you, but you have to understand a little bit of the culture, that they walked around in sandals in a dry and dusty, dirty world. And when they walked, sometimes for miles, when they would come to someone's house, what would happen when they came in the house is that they would be taken by the servants and they would be set down and a basin would be put there and water would be put in it and their feet would be washed by the servants so that they would ease the feet. Now, sometimes I wouldn't mind that when I get home. But I've never asked my wife to do that. She probably would, but I would never ask her. Okay. They washed their feet. It was a common occurrence for people to get their feet washed. It was like welcoming them into your home. It was courtesy to do that. If you didn't do it, you were being discourteous to your guests because it was a way that you could treat their feet because that's the way they got around, on their feet. And it was a way of that happening. So here they had their supper and suddenly Jesus is the one who gets down on his knees and pours the bowl of water and begins to bathe the disciples' feet. Do you think they were a little bit shocked? Do you think they were pretty amazed at this? This was the servant's job. This wasn't the job for Jesus. He was the one with supreme authority. But he was on his knees. He was the one that was taking their feet in his hands and bathing them. I don't know, you know, it's a long trip from Margaree to Dingwall, and my feet get a little tired sometimes pushing on the gas pedal. Maybe next time I come, it'd be nice to have somebody wash my feet. Let me tell you something. You don't want to wash my feet. They're ugly. I don't want to wash my feet. I don't want to look at them, but they're there somewhere. But here's what Jesus does. This is the servant's heart. This is what Jesus does. He takes those disciples and he sets them down and he gets down lower than they are and he begins to wash their feet and they're shocked. They're like, what's going on here? We know who you are, Jesus. we see who you are. Remember that Peter himself had confessed, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. So he washed the disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel which he had around his waist. So he finally gets to Peter in the process, to Simon Peter, and all of the other disciples, they kind of shut in their mouths and they're just like, what's going on here? Can you imagine if God Almighty, the creator of the universe, suddenly appeared in this room and he walked up to you and he fell down on his knees in front of you and took your socks off and began to wash your feet? You'd be a little bit amazed yourself. Pardon? Yeah. Well, Peter got nervous and he said to him, Lord, you're washing my feet? And basically he was saying, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. No way, Lord. And Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing you don't understand, but you will know after this. Jesus said, Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing, but you'll figure it out later. That's what he says to him. Simple statement. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Why would he say that? He felt unworthy, ashamed. What's that?
You were too low to have God wash his feet.
Okay. Well, isn't that a nice expression? Isn't that a humbling thing for him to say?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
You think you should have got a little hand for that? A little clap?
Something like I would say.
Is that something like you might say? No, Lord. What are you doing, Lord? Get up off your feet. It's me that should be washing your feet, right?
Yes.
Me should be washing your feet. You're not going to wash my feet, he says. Well, Jesus had an answer. If I don't wash you, you have no part with me. If you don't let me serve you, you have nothing to do with me. The Bible says, Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You need Jesus. You need Jesus in your life. You need Jesus in the messy parts of your life. You need Jesus in the dirty parts of your life. You need Jesus. You need to get your feet exposed. You need to be exposed for what you have, and you need him to come and to lovingly touch you and to cleanse you, because if you don't, you have nothing to do with Jesus. It's not enough just to have some theory about Jesus Christ. You need to let him minister to you. Amazing. You need to stop and let Jesus minister to you. Oh, listen, I'm just a little too busy for you right now. I've got a lot of things to do in my life, and they're very important. Are they really? You need Jesus to minister to you. You can't get along without him. You might think you can, but at the end of the story, you will miss the ministry of Jesus Christ. You will have nothing to do with him if you do not allow him to minister to you. And friends, he has come to minister to the human race. And it didn't just happen when he got on his knees with some water in a basin back then. It was the very heart of Christ. And the marvelous thing is that even now, while he's seated with all authority and power over him, where he said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth, just as we saw in the verse just preceding here, even now, with all of that authority and power, he still ministers to human beings like you and me. The Bible says that he ever lives to make intercession for us, that he ministers to us, and that he loves us, that he's passionate about us here in this very room tonight. He wants to wash your feet. He wants to touch your life. He wants to get to the dirty parts. He wants to get between the toes and clean the crud out. God wants to get that personal with people like you and me. That's how much he loves us. That's the servant heart of God. All authority and yet absolute humility in the one package. You don't find that. You find that in the heart and the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he cares for you. Oh, how intimately he's interested in the parts of your life that nobody knows about, but he knows them all anyway, doesn't he? And how he's interested in touching you where you need to be touched. How should we resist him? Why should we resist the call of God in our lives? And yet how easily we do that. How easily we draw back from being ministered to. we ought to be running to Him. Every opportunity that is given to us to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And when we gather together in these little gatherings, the Spirit of God tells us that Jesus is in our midst. He comes to minister to us here in these kinds of gatherings. Are we small, insignificant? Yes, in the eyes of the world, we're nothing. Pass by that little gathering in that room. They're all nuts. They're crazy. What is the purpose of that? Why would they even bother to do it? And yet, Jesus is here, and He's in this very room, and He wants to minister to us. Oh, we ought to run to it, look forward to it, cry out to God for it, because He is here, ready to touch us, ready to minister, ready to hit those spots that need to be touched and cleansed. But how often we are like Peter. How often, Lord, I don't want You right now. Right now, I've got other things that are more important. Right now, this here is calling to me. Right now, I've got to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do that. And all these things are much more important.
And that's what we do.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want so many things to occupy our time.
Absolutely. We can be so full of everything else. And yet, there He is, waiting on someone like you. There He is, the King of the universe, saying, I'll be your servant. I'll be your servant. Let me minister to you. Peter had a response with that. Simon Peter said to Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Oh God, I want part with You. I want to be with You. Jesus said, look, if you're not going to let me wash you, you got nothing to do with me. He says, okay, Lord, you can do all. You can wash my head, you can wash my hands, you can do whatever you want with me. And Jesus said to Him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. He's referring to Judas Iscariot. Now, what he means by this here is that when somebody comes into the home, they don't need a full bath. It's their feet that got dirty. And it's their feet that need to be washed. And in one sense, listen, if you're a Christian tonight, then you've already been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is really a ministry to believers because we've already been cleansed. But listen, when you walk through this world, do you get your feet dirty sometimes? Spiritually dirty? Do you get some crud in your life? You find yourself stumbling and not with the strength that you ought to have? Do you walk into sin sometimes in your experience? Do you need a daily cleansing from God? Do you need God to be ministering to you every single day of your experience? You absolutely do. So Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you've already trusted me. You've already been cleansed. But right now you need to experience the daily cleansing. You need to experience the cleansing of the crud of your life. And we need that too. How easily we drift from God. Oh, every day come to Jesus. Every day say to Him, Lord, I need You to wash my feet. I need You, Lord. My feet have, sometimes my feet have not gone in good directions. God, cleanse me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Do whatever You want with me. And maybe like Peter said, God, You can do whatever You want with me. Lord, I realized it's an all or nothing situation. And that's really what Jesus is saying. It's all or nothing with Jesus. What do you want? You want Jesus? Then you get the whole package. Amen. It isn't half Jesus. It isn't half ministry. It isn't drift along with a little bit of God in my corner of my life. And I'll pull Him up whenever I think I need Him. Or, you know, I'll come and see Him whenever I have time for Him. Oh, it's all or nothing. It's give Him your heart. It's give Him your soul. It's let Him have the very core of your being. It's let Him come and do the service that He wants to do to you. Because this is amazing that God would want to touch you. And God would want to have anything to do with you is amazing. We think sometimes in our arrogance, oh, I have my own free will. I can do whatever I want. If I don't want God right now, I'll just put Him over there. When I want Him, I'll just take Him. What arrogance we have. What arrogance. When all the while He is calling and saying, come to Me. I'll give you rest. Come to Me. Let Me serve you. Now, the amazing thing about all of that is that we really are the ones that should be serving Him. And He does call us to serve Him. But not before He serves us first. And He has served you well. He served you well by going to the cross. He served us well by dying there for our sins. He served us well because he took humanity on and he rose humanity from the grave and he took humanity into heaven and he stands before the Father and he intercedes on our behalf. He looks after our interests and he's constantly ministering to all of us. He's serving you well right now. Open your eyes to see the wonder of Jesus serving the likes of you and me. And it ought to melt your heart and cause you to become a worshiper of God, one who falls before him, one who gives him glory, and say, Lord, you can do whatever you want with my life. You can do whatever you want. Friends, when we've got people who lord it over us, and sometimes we speak despicably of them, and sometimes we're angry at those who are in authority over us because of the abuses of power and everything else, when here we have the Son of God, who is the Lord of the universe, but who is your friend, who calls himself the friend of sinners, when he is one who will serve you in such fashion as this, give him your heart. Say to him, Lord, I am not going to hold back any longer. I'm not going to stop, Lord. I'm not going to turn away from you. I'm going to say, Lord, here I am. Do what you want with my life. I am not going to live on the edge any longer. I'm not going to be off drifting somewhere when you're saying, come and let me minister to you. Say, yes, Lord, I'm coming. Do what you want with my life. You love me. You care for me. And what you do is good. It's always going to be good. For Jesus knew, John 13:11, he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you're not all clean. But let me ask you a question. Did he wash Judas's feet too?
No.
Yes, he did.
He was there.
He was there. He gets down and he washes the feet of his very betrayer. Amazing, isn't it? The one who in a few short hours was going to betray him. Jesus gets down and he washes his feet too. So maybe you feel a little bit Judas-y at times. Maybe you feel like you've been a betrayer of God. Maybe you feel like you've fallen short. Maybe you feel like, my goodness, I don't deserve to be touched by Jesus because, you know, I'm a hypocrite. On the outside, maybe I talk about God a little bit, but on the inside, no way. Or sometimes on the inside, I think about God, but on the outside, no way. I wouldn't want anybody to know that I'm a worshiper of God. Because they might persecute me or give me a hard time. Maybe you feel a little bit like Judas. But Jesus got down and washed his feet. And I want you to know today he'll wash yours if you're willing to let him. He'll wash yours. Even if you're off in left field, he'll still come to you because he loves you. But he was making it clear. Even though I've washed you physically, Judas, you're not clean spiritually because your heart's not right. Because you don't want this and you don't want me and you don't want the things of God. So he says, therefore he said, you're not all clean. Someone among us is not clean. Someone among us has not accepted me. Someone among us does not believe in me. And someone among us is still lost in their sins and rejecting me. What a tragic story is the life of Judas. We will look at it more later on. So when he had washed their feet, John 13:12, he took their garments and he sat down again. He took his garments and he sat down again. He said to them, do you know what I've done to you? Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. He didn't mind saying who he was. He was their teacher and he was their Lord. He said, you're saying, well, that's what I am. I am your teacher and I am your Lord. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, then you ought to also wash one another's feet. So now we have the other aspect. We have Jesus being the servant, willing to wash the disciples' feet. The glory of it and the wonder of it we've dwelt on for a few moments tonight. And the wonder of it that we should be able to say to him, yes, Lord, wash my feet today, O God. Yes, Lord, minister to me, O God. I need your heart. I need what you're doing in my life. But he takes it farther than that. He takes it to the place where he says, not only should you allow God to touch your life and do what needs to be done in your experience, but he says, I've only not only done this to show you my heart, but I've done it to show you what to do with your heart. Be a servant to others. Be a servant to others. Wash one another's feet. Look after one another. Care for one another. Do you have the servant's heart? Is it your passion and desire to serve others? Or is it somehow to elevate yourself a little bit above somebody else? Is it your passion and desire, if you see someone, how can I help this person? How can I bless this person? How can I minister to this person? Now wait. Yeah, that's okay if it's people that I know, if it's people that love me and I love them. But how about serving someone and loving someone and doing whatever you can for someone who's your enemy? How about doing it to someone who is going to betray you or has betrayed you or was willing to destroy you? Would you go that far?
Different story.
Yeah. What did Jesus say? If you only do good to those who do good to you, what's the point of that? He said, love your enemies. Do good to those who do evil to you. That's God's heart. Because you were all the enemy of God because of your sins. And he loved you. And he did good to you. Real good to you. So the challenge then is for us to allow the Lord Jesus to do this ministry in our lives. And also to say, Lord, let me be also the same kind of servant. Let me wash other people's feet. Let me bless other people. Let me be willing to touch the hard and the dirty and the rotten areas in people's lives and be willing to be involved in their lives and the messes that they're in and to love them and care for them and look for some way to serve them and to help them get cleaned up. Wow, what a call. What a call that God has on his people. What a wonderful thing. Friends, I want you to wash one another's feet. You want to do it literally, you can. There are some churches that actually practice foot washing, where they get together and they wash one another's feet.
I've been one of those who got his feet washed.
Pardon me?
He says, I've been one of those who got his feet washed.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah. But that isn't the real heart of what's being said here. It's nice to do that. That's an outward expression. But the real, when he says, I want you to wash one another's feet, he's talking about ministering to people in life. Because you could do that in a ceremony at a church and it would not mean a thing unless your heart was, when you get out of the building, are you willing to bow down? Are you willing to help? Are you willing to minister? Are you willing to get low to help someone else? Are you really willing to do that? Are you willing to do that for your enemies? This is only the heart of God. And I want to challenge you to this. You will not do this kind of spiritual foot washing unless you have allowed Jesus and you're allowing Jesus to minister to you. Without that, you won't be able to do it. This is a work of the Spirit of God to have the servant's heart that he calls us to. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, then you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. It's an ongoing experience, friends. And oh, how wonderful it is. Listen, when you meet someone who has a servant's heart, there's something beautiful about that. Someone who cares. Someone who is interested in you as a person. Someone who takes the time to listen to you and to respond to you and to look for any way that they can to encourage you and to grow you. It's a beautiful thing. And all of us have that opportunity to be like that. And I have experienced that from all of you. And yet we have the opportunity to do that farther abroad, more and more, as we walk with God. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, then blessed are you if you what? If you do them. If you live in this way. Jesus is calling us. He's saying, listen, if I do this, I'm sent from the Father, and yet I'm willing to be the servant of all, then I want you. I want you to be that kind of a servant. Doing them. Blessed them. Doing it. Living in this way. so that we might honor the Lord. In John 13, 20, I'm going to jump a couple of verses because this has to do with Judas. We'll look at that next week. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. In other words, we go and we minister to one another. And as we allow people to minister to us, fellow Christians, to serve us, to help us, and sometimes we're not easy to help. You know, sometimes I'm not easy to help. Sometimes people are not willing to be helped where they need help. Sometimes people reject that help. And yet we go to them. And this is what it speaks about here. It says, be the one who's willing to receive help and also be the one who's willing to give help. What a wonderful way to live. If the world lived this way, it would be a different world, wouldn't it? There wouldn't be any ISIS. There wouldn't be all of the misery and the destruction. If everybody's out for the interests of others, willing to bless them, willing to care for them. And that's the heart of God. Let me leave you with that tonight. The heart of Jesus is a servant's heart. The heart of his disciples are servants' hearts. I praise God tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank him tonight. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that even now you have a servant's heart. Even now that you're seated at the right hand of the Father, you have a servant's heart to us. I thank you, Lord, that you are still washing our feet. And Lord, forgive us for rejecting, for walking away, for not stopping and being still and allowing you to minister into our lives where it needs to happen. Forgive us, Lord. And Lord, more than that too, come into our souls and enable us to be those kind of people that serve a broken, ruined, lost world, that serve one another with love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the love of God. Thank you for your servant's heart. Praise you, Lord, that the way up is the way down. And we give you the praise tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let Jesus wash your feet and find somebody's feet to wash this week. You won't have to go far to look for somebody that you can be a servant to. May God bless.